College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, if the Eagles can come up with their one turnover of the game right here, that would be ceiling. Brady back again. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward.
He
fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by... it is recovered by Barnett. Barnett. Brady fumbles, and Barnett has the ball.
They finally hit turnover. Brady.
Oh, there was 7 years ago tonight in Minnesota, February 4, 2018. Brandon Graham makes the play to seal the Super Bowl. Welcome back. Midday Show live from Radio Row in New Orleans. That's a great Merrill call. Merrill and Mike on the call there. The BG strip sack. It's you. That was the kind of game where they needed one play out of their defense because their offense was so ridiculous that night. But they... Man, Tom Brady moved the football for 3 hours on them. They needed to make one play.
And they made it.
BG made it.
Yeah, and it was huge, man. And I was jumping up and down. I was happy for him. I was happy for the win. And we finally got a Super Bowl, man. That was crazy.
It was. And here they are again trying to win another this weekend, this time against the guy that might be coming the GOAT and taking that mantle for Brady, Patrick Mahomes. All right, 215-592-949. Let's take a phone call here. And then we'll play some of what went on in media night last night, including BG talking about a play like that that they might need coming up on Sunday. Let's talk to Charles in Bluebell. What's up, Charles?
All right, what's up, guys?
Charles, how you doing, buddy?
Great show. And Hugh, I know you said earlier that you got sleepy last night around 9 o'clock. It is perfectly okay, because you know why? Last night it was 10 o'clock in Delaware. You're still in Delaware time.
Listen, man, I was sleepy, and I'm a hold to that. I might move around a little bit today, but you know what the messed up part about it is, though? Is when we get done, the city has a little buzz to it. So, you know, you might go out and partake in a couple adult beverages. Then the first thing you know, if not one of them young cats, man, you're not staying up all night. I'm not booting and rally like I used to. Boot and rally.
Exactly. Now, listen, guys, on the referee thing, my thing is this, you know, if the Eagles play well and make it more than a two-score game, the referees won't be an issue. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story, Hugh. 2 years ago, I went to Arizona, okay? You guys saw me in McGirt's 2 weeks ago here in Royersford. I was the first one up to you.
Oh, I remember you. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, Charles. But listen, 2 years ago, I went to Arizona. I was on the Eagles travel package, and Eagles Hollis Thomas was on my airplane. So, you know, we was rocking and rolling, you know, had a great time out in Arizona. But when you have a bad call and you spend so much time and energy and you're there and Bradbury did, it was a pass interference, but it hurt at the time. And, you know, we got back on the plane, Hollis and everybody, we was on the plane. The plane was quiet coming home. And we got off the airport in Philly, man. Me and Hollis went right to McDonald's, and we were still complaining about that call.
And I get it, Charles. I mean, I think we all in the moment. And, Charles, good phone call, man. Good hearing from you. No one liked the Bradbury call two
years but
ago.
It was a fair call, man. And that's the thing that we have to realize is that, you know, it was a fair call. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people don't want to admit that.
You know, when you have a call that's 50-50 or 60-40, or even you might just say that's a holding no matter what. Elliott made a fair point earlier, or I think it was a caller, actually. They weren't calling that kind of play. They were letting the guys play in the secondary, so maybe they expect that. But you can't count on that, right? Like, if you commit a foul, you commit a foul.
And, you get a feel for what the refs are going to do or how they're going to call the game early in the game. But you don't tempt that all the time. You don't go to that well. Oh, they're not gonna call it that. They might not call it that time. Or you might get a warning. Sometimes you get a warning. Say, hey, 5-3, keep doing that. We're gonna call it hands to the face. You need to watch that.
Yep.
You know they let them play, but you can't keep going back there to that hoping that that's gonna be the outcome is gonna be in your favor. You can't do that, man.
Well, the other thing is, you know, the timing matters. And in that moment, I think we decided, well, the Eagles would have won the game if they didn't call that. It doesn't mean they would have won the game, right?
No.
Like, the Eagles let it go down and get a game-tying field goal, and then probably go to overtime. Like, there's no guarantee. Now, unfortunately, when that flag hit the field and I looked at the clock and I looked at the timeouts,
everybody's like, oh, no.
Well, I realized, you realize the game's probably over. It was it was a crushing moment. There's no question. Let's go to Nowy in Bucks County. What's up, Nowy?
Yo, guys, thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thanks,
Nowy.
What's up?
Thank you for listening.
I'm just weighing in on the whole flag thing again. And, really no need to go to full conspiracy mode. But, I mean, the eye test does sort of seem to lean that way. But one of the problems with that, in my opinion, is sort of like these rules that leave gray area. And I just don't like all these late slides. And I don't know. I feel like there should be, I guess, you know, in some ways we don't need more rules in this game. But on the other hand, you know, it's not really fair that a defender doesn't know. Can they hit you or can't they hit you? So, I mean,
I think that's fair, Nowy. That's not so much a Chiefs thing. That's a quarterback thing, and Mahomes is really good at taking advantage of it. Hugh, there has been some thought that maybe they should change the rule. It swung too far to the quarterbacks. Like, if you're going to slide late, we're not going to hit, you know, we're not going to throw a flag anymore.
Yeah, but the quarterbacks are the ones that make the game go.
Yep.
Those are the ones that people, they want to keep them on the field. So, that's going to be tough, man. You got to be smart. The unfortunate thing about it, especially to me, is when he's trying to go out of bounds, and then he doesn't, and then gets those extra yards. There should be a penalty when he does stuff like that. Because as a defender, I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to defend you from getting more yards. But if you're using that in a situation to try to dupe me, they should do something about that.
Is there any way, you know, like on the fair catch, you signal it? Is there any way to make a quarterback signal as they're running out of bounds? Out of bounds?
But see, normally, when a quarterback's going out of bounds, he goes out of bounds. But Patrick being a bigger quarterback and knowing that guys are pulling up, he takes advantage of that. Now, there should be a rule against that.
There was one when they played the Niners this year. He got like 20 extra yards. Like he was going to go
there
out.
There should be a rule against
that. And the defender stopped, and he just kept going.
Definitely be a rule.
Yeah, I agree with that now. It's swung too far to where you don't even know what to do as a defender if the quarterback's about to slide. Like, do you hit him in case he doesn't, or do you just, like, stand there and let him keep running?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes, I mean, this might be going too far, but I almost feel like it should be a penalty to late slide. Like, maybe you can't slide unless like the next defender's 3 yards away from you. And if you do this, like, because you're almost putting people in danger. Like those guys with the Texan games, they hit each other in the head, and they
when he hit Trevor Lawrence. You're going a million miles an hour, and then you got to make that decision to slide or not.
Yeah, that's not cool. Nobody can make that decision at a million miles an hour. Like, it's, I feel like. Like, yeah, like the sort of like the calling for a fair catch. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't have all the answers. But the other thing I want to say is that, you know, this is.
Now, man, we appreciate the phone call that we got.
We lost it.
Yeah, it's okay. 215-592-9494. That's up in Radio Row down in New Orleans as we get set for Super Bowl 59. And I don't believe that the referees are going to favor the Chiefs or they're against the Eagles on Sunday. I know a lot of people do. All right, so last night was media night here, opening night. Down in New Orleans. Let's hear from some of the guys last night talking, including some players here. Lane Johnson. Listen to Lane last night at media night.
I don't know. I think adversity brings people closer. We had some last season. So, I don't know. I just feel like we're all really close. I mean, we were close on that team too, but I feel like us just probably we interact maybe more with the defense than we did with that team. But with any team that I've been a part of, it's been really good. Usually really close on all the field, but, it's pretty similar.
Hugh, there is something, I think, to the experience level. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Elliot brought it up. It's like they just feel a little bit more locked in this time, maybe because they've done this as a group. A lot of these guys were here 2 years ago. It just feels like they are more prepared for this week than they were last time.
Well, they're probably more reflective because of what it took to get here. The fact that Coach Sirianni went berserk. He went berserk.
Brought everyone together.
I mean, you cannot make light of that situation, y'all. I know y'all laugh and giggle when I say, oh, he went berserk. He did. And this team came together. And they came together for the greater good. They protected their coach. Like I said to a man, I didn't hear anybody off the record say anything bad about Coach Sirianni. Didn't happen. As a matter of fact, they protected him. And they went out there and they played for him. So I think there's something to be said about his coaching style. It might not be the coaching style that you love, but it's the coaching style that we needed to get us where we are, and it worked.
Well, speaking of Coach Sirianni, how about this? This is a feather in Sirianni's cap. As you know, people say, what does he do? What's his role here? You know, obviously how he picks the players, and Stoutland coaches them up, and Moore coaches them up, and Fangio. Well, Jeff Stoutland giving a little shout out to Nick Sirianni that he had the idea that maybe Mekhi Becton could be a good piece in this offensive line.
Coach Sirianni said to me, let's just try him out for a couple practices. Let's just see how he does. And I was like, cool, let's go. And I guess it was then that I saw the fluidity in his movement. One thing about Mekhi, are you willing and give this a shot, a couple practices? He goes, sure. You mean I could get a chance to play guard? I said, yeah.
You know, that was one of the more underrated parts of how this team came together here. Because when they signed Mekhi Becton, I remember, I think it was like a one-year, $5 million deal. And we thought it was insurance at tackle, right? The backup tackle to Lane and Mata.
I played him at guard.
And then they put him at guard, and he was good.
I tell you what, man, and it was funny because, you know, he's a bigger guard. Like, normally you want shortier, squattier guards. He's not that. And he played extremely well at that position. Played well with his leverage. Didn't get in trouble too much during the course of the year. I mean, even though Jalen was sacked quite a bit, he was not bad at that guard spot.
I thought he was very good. And we'll see
for
what
a bigger guy.
We'll see what they do this offseason. I thought he was outstanding. How about Jeff Lurie here last night talking? The owner talking last night at media night.
I don't have a strong opinion about it because you're torn. I love outdoor football. I love it. You know, I love the cold games. I like the hot games. I like the snow games. On the other hand, you know, does Philadelphia deserve to host the Super Bowl, NCAA Final Four, lots of great events? It's an incredible sports city. Does it deserve that? Yes. So you got to balance all those things.
So that was the quote from Lurie last night talking about what we asked Elliot about. It sounds to me like eventually they're going to have a stadium here with a retractable roof. It's coming.
Well, it's the way he presented
it.
I mean, it makes the transition a little smoother.
Well, you want a Super Bowl, don't you?
Yeah,
want a Final Four?
Yeah, because he's laying out all the key points that makes it beneficial to have a dome here. And he's done it in such a way that everybody's like, you know what?
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Because, I mean, when he laid it out for me last night, that's kind of how I was.
Oh, he won you
and
over?
And I was like, well, I was thinking.
We're going to lose the snow game.
No, but I was thinking, man, I ain't got to worry about no coach no more.
You know, it's not only about you staying comfortable.
I'm just saying, dog. I just thought about that. It just, that was a feeling of relief.
So selfish.
I know.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm going to do what's best for everybody. But
sure
I'm just like, it was just refreshing.
All about me, Douglas, over here.
To see that.
All right.
To feel that.
We'll get to one more cup. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Hugh, I wanted to make it a policy this week not to take any phone calls from Chiefs fans.
Yes.
But I guess we'll make an exception. We have Rasheed Wallace on the line with us.
Rasheed.
What's up, man?
Man, why are you bothering us with your chiefdom? What's going on, man?
Man, same, can't complain. You know, just sitting back, basking in his glory about this week, about the playoffs.
Hold up, Doc. Listen, first of all, you were being disrespectful a couple weeks ago, rolling up on us with the Chiefs gear on. I mean, I know you're a fan, but damn, dog. By the way, the tailgate that you threw the last time you was at the game, that was really nice. But still, you're coming in disrespectful. Ain't no, the Chiefs ain't playing, but you rolling up with Chiefs gear on. Man, what's wrong with you?
Well, you know, I got to support my team. I love my team, man. You know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, we didn't have a game that week, so I just wore my yellow jersey, you know, the practice jersey and stuff while we was practicing waiting for everybody.
And hold up. It don't help the fact, Joe, that he's one of the biggest people in the world, on the planet. And you can see him from a mile away with all that Chiefs gear.
Who's that really tall guy? Oh, that's got to be him.
That got to be Rasheed, man.
All right, so Rasheed, here's my question. Are you ready to take the L this weekend? This thing's over, right? Eagles are going to win this game.
Well, no, what's actually going to happen, I think I'm going to have security when I come back home because everybody's going to be so hot with me for beating y'all twice in a bowl. You know, everybody's going to want to fight me or some stuff, man. You know, I got to be, you know, put my head on a swivel. You know what I mean?
I don't think nobody's going to fight you, man. But nobody's going to be mad at you because the Eagles are going to win this game, dog. I just feel it in my spirit. This is the Eagles' Word. Time, man. Did you see Jalen Hurts, how focused he was last night at media night?
Hey, I'll say this. Jalen Hurts, as I just told a good friend of mine, Charlie Mack, just got on the phone trolling and talking with him. Jalen Hurts, I like him. He's a good quarterback. He's, to me, in my opinion, even though he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion. Right now, again, stats might not have said that this year, but no, young bull good. I can't take that away from him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can't sit up here and say he trash and this and that. I can't. I can't talk no junk about him. Only time I could talk junk about him is when he's playing my team. But no, young bull good though, man. Jalen Hurts is a good QB out here. And again, as I said, I think he's the top five quarterback out here.
All right, so Shee, give us a score prediction. What are you feeling for Sunday? Is this going to be close again? You thinking your team's going to win by a lot? Like we think the Eagles are going to win.
I think it's going to be a tight game, though. Yeah, I think
really
it's going to be a tight
game. What score are you thinking?
Well, I'll say this. Y'all better not hope it's a tight game, because as y'all seen over the last 2 years, we got, what, like 18, 19 tight game wins. So
yeah,
if anything, y'all will hope that y'all blow us out, because if it's tight, no, we're going to win that for sure. But,
yeah,
you know, I don't think it's going to be a lot of points scored here. I think no one scores over 28, for real, in my opinion, because you got two stellar defenses here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the Eagles, they got a top-notch defense. You know, those guys, they're hyped, they're hungry. They've been playing, you know, running around like chickens with their heads cut off all year. And then my Chiefs, you know, we got a top stellar defense as well because, as you just mentioned, the wins that we've had, the less than one touchdown wins that we've had throughout the last 2 years. So, you know, it's going to be a defensive game, if you ask me. It might be boring. It might be boring. I don't think it's going to be too many high-flying plays, you know, like the 80-yard bombs or all of that. I don't think it's going to be too much of that. I think it's going to come down to a defensive game.
I don't see that either. I definitely don't see that.
Yeah, two great coordinators on that side, too. Rasheed, we appreciate you listening in and calling in. And I was going to wish you good luck, but I can't do that this week. So enjoy the game, Rasheed. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how about them Chiefs?
No. Hang up, Kyle. Get rid of
it. I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you calling in, man.
Rasheed
Wallace, listen, he did show up at that pregame, and you're like,
yeah,
wait,
did,
is that Rasheed?
Like, how is that Rasheed Wallace?
Like, how many guys is that tall?
There.
It's got to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that he supports his team, but come on now. Come on now. We can't have that. That's the rule. That's the last Chiefs caller we're taking the entire week. We made an exception because it's Rasheed Wallace, but we're done taking them. Who we got next? Mr. Sure Hands up next? Let's get Mr. Sure Hands up.
You, fellas.
Mr. Sure Hands, what's up?
All right, man. So listen, right? If you know Rasheed and you ever heard him talk, he know his team is getting blown up. And he told y'all how we going with it.
A blowout.
A blowout. We not going to let the game be close. We not worried about the refs. The refs don't matter. Roger Goodell could get out there and throw some flags if he want to. The Eagles is going to smash the Chiefs. QB1, four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns for QB1. I'll take
that. Passing, running, what are we talking about here?
And get three passing, one brotherly shove.
Well, that sounds to me like MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
Been a lot of crying about the brotherly shove the last couple of days.
Yeah, I'm tired of that.
They're going to cry about it a whole lot, too. They're going to cry about it a whole lot.
Yeah, they're going to be
as long as the play is legal, people got to get over it. I mean, it is what it is.
First downs and touchdowns. We're not worried about no refs. We focus. We're going to execute. And we're going to scout the Chiefs, man. We bring the bowl home.
We can't say that on there, can we? Scout the Chiefs. That don't sound right. I don't think we can do that.
I mean, Kyle's got to handle all of it.
Okay, yeah.
I got to handle all of it.
Okay, I'm just making sure, man. I'm just like, you know what I mean? I'm already down here reckless eyeball, and I ain't trying to get
it. I recommend we don't repeat it.
Yeah, by the way, if we lost you a few minutes ago, it was complete reckless
eyeballing. You saw that?
Well, you looked at me like, what's going on? And I looked up and I realized what you were talking about without saying anything.
She don't work for us.
So, Joe, right? You know, I said we might not score 50 this time.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take that back.
Okay.
We're going to blow them out.
See, now we're talking. See, Mr. Sure Hands gets it.
Mr. Hands gets it.
That's the way we're going to do this. Mr. Sure Hands,
your favorite part of the team going to come up.
Defense, which we know is not.
But at the, like I said, at the end of the day, I will be justified because our $250 million quarterback is going to have to make a play.
This is what you call dying on a hill. The Eagles are in the Super Bowl with the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And he was like, I will be justified.
And I will be justified. And it's going to come down to Jalen making a play. Yeah. Mm. It's going to justify. Listen,
well,
man,
it might, but the defense also has to play well the whole game.
Sleep lovely at night with these fire takes that I have on a daily basis that help catapult us to the top seven spot in the nation, Joe. I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm unwavering. Now, I know my takes are awesome. Because if we moved, look how far we moved up. Look at us.
Well, what we doing. It was a good take. We got a lot of mileage out of it. Now, I mean, you were dead wrong, but it's a good take.
Well, it was an awesome take.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It was an awesome take.
The one thing that I think everyone should know about WIP is it doesn't matter who's right or wrong.
No.
Because everyone's wrong half the time. All right, 215-592-9494. Can we hear from BG last night? We opened this segment by playing the cut from BG 7 years ago tonight. The sack, the strip sack of Tom Brady. BG last night, who's going to make that play this time?
When you guys won the Super Bowl, obviously you made the biggest play in the game. If you had to take a guess out of all the guys you have on defense, who's going to make the biggest play in the game on Sunday? Who would you pick?
Well, I mean, I got to go with my guy, Zach Bond, because that boy up for DP of the year. So, hey, that boy, I expect him to go out and give me everything he got all the time because that's what he showed in practice. So he'll be the first guy that I think that'll make a big play.
So his choice there, Hugh, is Zach Bond. What do you think of that? So if I just say to you right now, Hugh, I'm gonna eliminate Bryce Huff. You're not allowed to pick him.
Because you knew where I was
going. I know. If I say Bryce Huff department.
Okay.
If you had to pick right now, guess right now, who's gonna make the defensive play of the game to change the game?
I would probably go Zach Bond because all the intangibles that are going into this. Coming back to the NO, place he played for a while. Probably coming full circle for him. Special team. He used to run down on this field as a special teams maven. Now he's coming in as a defensive player of the year candidate. How big is that, man? It's so many side stories on this team, origin stories, if you will, that you could point to and say, man, these are some really good feel good stories. I'm gonna stay away from the Bryce Huff one because that's probably the ultimate one. But I go with Zach Bond. I would even say. That Cooper DeJean
or Quinyon Mitchell might
be a young man that gets. Quinyon, if you play it while you're playing, he might get two picks this game.
Well,
if he get two picks this game, that would be phenomenal.
Can you, give me a minute. I'm going to go check my app here.
The FanDuel.
Quinyon's MVP odds. Here's mine. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
CJGJ has been a
big game player. He has been a guy that gets big picks in big moments, and I feel like he's going to have a moment on Sunday. Maybe it's a tip pass, and he's the one that corrals it for interception. That's my guy. Kyle, who are you thinking? Who's the BG of Super Bowl 59?
I'm going to go with mini BG as Brandon Graham passes off the baton to Mr. Nolan Smith. Yeah.
You said mini BG. That's pretty awesome.
You know, the Chiefs, you know, we're going to talk about, obviously, Jalen Carter's a big part of this, a huge part. But as Ross mentioned to us when he was on, the strength of the Chiefs' O-line is the interior, right? Mm-hmm. You go up against good guards and a good center. That might be the weakness point of the Chiefs' pass protection is the tackles. Yeah. That might be it, Nolan.
So he really has come on during the playoffs, and I think late in the season, he made that pretty much, I mean, I don't know if you can call it the game-sealing play, but the 4th-and-12 sack on Jaden Daniels that essentially ended any hope that the Commanders might have had left last time.
I feel like the strength of this defense has been the fact that, you know, a lot of times the quarterbacks can't step up in the pocket and they leave them flailing.
Yep.
If they block the center pretty good, then, you know, that feels like that might be some opportunities for Patrick Mahomes to make some plays in the passing game. So, yeah, they got to figure out a way to spring Jalen Carter, man, to get him that pressure up the middle that he's used to getting.
Yeah, they got to get there. And they got to finish when they get there.
Yeah.
He makes plays when he's pressured and then he'll somehow throw the ball if he's being tackled. You got to get him to the ground. 215-592-9494. Hit your phone calls to the side. Do you think the rest will be against the Eagles? And you can give us your BG of Super Bowl 59. Who's going to be the player on defense to make a huge play? BG said it's going to be Zach Bond. Plus, we'll hear from someone who was part of another dynasty and what he thinks about all this talk about the refs. That's next. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Zira, live today from Radio Row in New Orleans, Louisiana, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yeah, let me tell you about this, what I got to tell you about. I'm going to tell you about some bets. The big game has arrived, and fans are excited as he will be hoisting the trophy in New Orleans, which we're here right now. You can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You know what? If you want to bet the over or under, you can do that. That's not really the bet that I use, but, you know, I'm still getting, you know, acclimated to all this. You can bet passing yards. You can bet the point spread. You can bet player props. I got a feeling, Joe, that player props are going to be big with the Eagles this weekend. ESPN Bet Big Game Giveaway Promo is offering a chance to win $1 million in prizes. 25 winners will walk away with $10,000. That's $10,000 in cash. And 7,500 winners will get $100 in bonus bets. No deposit or bet required. Download the app and opt in today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's apparent when you're on top, everyone wants to try to bring you down. It's a bunch of bull loney.
Nice.
That the league is helping the Kansas City Chiefs. If you got a problem with it, go beat them. Okay, the refs aren't involved in when you throw interceptions, when you fumble the ball, when you jump off sides, when you don't convert third down or fourth down or third and fourth down for short four times. They can't control that. Like, if you want to beat them, go beat them. Don't talk about it. Be about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say that about the Chiefs.
Yeah, Julian Edelman gets it. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Joy, live from Radio Row in New Orleans over here. As Julian Edelman, a couple days ago, he was saying, enough. Just go beat them. The referee stuff, I know it's a story. I know it's a big one. It's why we wanted to talk about it today, but I'm just going to feel for everyone's feeling about this. I don't think the refs are going to be against the Eagles on Sunday night. I don't buy it. I don't buy it, Hugh, and I think it's become overblown. Go win the game.
I think, and we've talked about this all day, it's what people talk about when they don't have nothing else to talk about. Because as a player, man, just like Julian said, you control the narrative. You can control whether or not that ref is making those calls. If you're not out there doing bonehead stuff, given the Kansas City Chiefs' life, then there it is. The one year when Cincinnati had him on the ropes.
Yeah, Joseph Asai.
Yeah.
That was the linebacker.
Yeah, the linebacker. Dude, you have to be smart. He don't make that play, we ain't even talking about dynasty.
Well, if he didn't make that play, the Eagles are playing the Bengals 2 years ago.
Yes.
The Eagles probably win that game.
Yes. He don't make that play. Ain't nobody having a conversation about the refs or anything like that. It's stupid things that happen that you have to be aware of. I don't see anything egregious. Now, I understand that people are going to complain about the refs and all this stuff. And like I said, human error, I think, is a part of it. But to sit there and be like, oh, no, the refs got a plan at the end of the day, and they have a script that say, you know what, whatever happens, Kansas City Chiefs win by one. No, dude, that's just you making bonehead plays at the end of the game that cost you the game.
Yeah, there's no question. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. And when you call in, we'll talk this ref stuff. Who's going to be the BG of Super Bowl 59? BG himself thinks it's going to be Zach Bond. Hugh's on the Zach Bond idea. Kyle's got Nolan Smith. I said it's going to be CJ, GJ. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Keith is up next on WIP.
Hey, great show, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. What's up, pal? What are you thinking?
Well, I tell you what, referees are employees. That's what I'm going to say about whether something is fixed or not. Because even if it is, nobody else has control over it except those people who are over top and making those decisions. None of us can say what is and what isn't if we're not sitting in those rooms. But, hey, like I said, they're employees. They have to answer someone. I think it goes in layers. This thing has layers. It's bigger than just whether they are fixing games or whether the referees are doing stuff independently. I don't think it's that at all. But that's their business. They run it like a business, so I respect that. But, Hugh, I have a question for you. You, and only you can answer this as a professional who's played the game. Listen, that 2014 with Terrell Owens, yourself, and Donovan, and the rest of that team could play against any team, I think, even today. That's my feeling. But having said that, with this team, current team, already winning, already going to the Super Bowl twice, and no other equal team has done that, and if they were to win this Super Bowl, and Lord knows if they win it convincingly, and many people are about to call them the greatest team ever if they do that, can there be a little professional jealousy of players from the past because this team has a chance to do something that maybe they didn't get a chance to do?
I wouldn't say jealousy, envy. Jealousy, nah. Because I'm happy. Do I wish it was me that won the Super Bowl? Yes. But I'm genuinely happy for BG and the things that they've been able to accomplish because we all eat behind that. You know, I mean, to be honest, even though I didn't play in the game, you know, there are certain benefits that I get from them being in the game, you know, and being a part of a Super Bowl run and being a part of a legacy. So, no, as far as being jealous of them or anything like that, no, envious, definitely envious. You know, when I look at the career that BG's had, and you're like, look, I would have loved to have that career, but it wasn't in the cards for me. So, I mean,
I
live vicariously through him. What'd you say?
I wish you and Ike were on this team.
Well, hell, me and Ike do too. We do. I'm pretty sure John Ritchie does too. But like I said, it's not so much jealousy. It's we're part of it. We're part of the foundation. We're part of the foundation of this Eagles legacy. And you know what? Hey, we did what we were supposed to do, and this team took what we started, and they took it further. And you know, it's like when you have a prototype of something. You know, it's good, but there's always something that comes along that's going to be better. And this is what this is. This is the Eagles 3.0, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. But this is a better version of what we started. So, I'm not jealous of that.
Y'all set the tone 2014.
Yeah, not jealous of that. I look at it like this. Did what we're supposed to do.
Good call, Keith. Keith, we appreciate it. Yeah, I heard, I think Ike either addressed this or was asked this a couple weeks ago. And he said something similar to you. Not jealousy. It's not but it is pretty wild. Like, you guys did set the tone because the franchise before, and that's why the Andy thing is so connected to all of this.
Yeah.
Because when I was on the KC station this morning, they asked me about the feeling about Andy in Philadelphia, and I said, well, it's complicated, but the reality is, before Andy, the Eagles were a very middling franchise.
Yeah.
This was nothing. Like, there was very little history, greatness.
There's too much connective tissue for you to completely diminish what Andy Reid did for this organization and vice versa. You know, the Chiefs knew what they had when they got Andy Reid, and Andy Reid implemented a plan that started here in Philadelphia, and he basically built on that plan. It was a blueprint that he followed that he built on it. Same thing here.
And you mentioned how you guys are like the prototype, and this is 3.0 or whatever. The whole team is built similarly. Just the names
have changed.
Right. Even the way they draft defensive ends. I mean, trading for you, but then there's other ones. There's Trent Cole. There's Brandon Graham. Right now, there's Nolan Smith.
What's funny? It's when you talk about from the time that I got here into BG. BG's probably last because Nolan's a little bit different. There are parallels between all three of us, in the similar build. The similar tenacity. Like, there are certain traits that we all share. And it kind of, like, you know, for lack of a better, it kind of started with the great individual that you're sitting here with right now. It kind of started right here.
So, shoot your own horn, Douglas.
Hey. So I tell you, listen, man, BG success, I take pride in that because I feel, because one of the things that I remember when Andy drafted him, he said he kind of reminds me of you. You know, in a sense. And I take great pride in being able to interact with BG, talk to BG like that, and watch his growth as a Philadelphia Eagle. Because let's be honest, he didn't have it easy here early on. You know, a lot of people thought he was a bust. A lot of people thought he didn't live up to the expectations.
Yep.
He got hurt early in his career. He worked his ass off to be the well-respected person that he is now. But a lot of people, let me tell you who haven't forgot where they came from. BG. Because every now and then he will let it be known in the way that he talks there. Well, you know, well, the people are like this, that, or third. He ain't forgot how he was treated when he was here. But now he revels
in
the fact.
He's seen both sides.
Yeah, he's seen. So he understands that. So you know, for me, no, it's not about jealousy. It's like when you see your kids do well.
You feel happy. You feel pride.
Especially when they do better than you.
Pride.
Yeah, it's a pride thing.
You have to credit Hugh Douglas.
There you go, Kyle. You better tell him, hey, to be in this number 7 spot in the midday and to help get these young Thundercats. Hell yeah, I'm blowing my horn. I'm tooting my own horn.
They're cheering Hugh Douglas in
and
Philly.
And they got that free. We got some free chicken down here. That Black Gritty ain't never going to get none of them.
That's why there's a pep in your step. Kyle, did you pick up on this? That Hugh quietly there tried to give himself credit for the.
I gave myself credit.
It's a pat on the back, Hugh.
What I heard there was, if it wasn't for Hugh Douglas, the Eagles wouldn't be here right now.
Hey.
The whole franchise would be in a.
Hugh saying you're welcome, everybody. Hashtag thank you, Hugh.
I don't know if I'd have went that
for Brandon Graham.
Say all that, but I mean, yo, it's a parallel.
I mean, so by extension, Hugh made the play on Tom Brady to get us our first Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know.
This is all Hugh.
Saw BG and Hugh. We drafted them, and there you go.
Well, technically, it started with Trent. It was BG. So I'm kind of like the Godfather.
The Godfather of the Eagles defense. Yeah. The guy that said defense doesn't matter is the godfather of the Eagles defense.
Hey, there's a lot of parallels there, man. Yeah.
If only we had longer arms, man.
Yeah, hey, y'all better start listening to me when I've been talking.
What that sounded like to me, that was Hugh's request to get a parade float in a couple weeks from now. That's what I heard there.
You know what?
His own float.
Because it's going to be so bananas
oh, yeah.
in Philadelphia. Listen, I can do this because I'm a radio host. I can speak it into existence. Joe, we're going to have to actually probably stay in the city the night before the parade.
I think we probably are. We're going to have a tough time getting in.
Listen, the pregames before that are going to be bananas.
Yes, oh, of course, there's no question. They're going to be wild. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Seth next here on WIP.
Seth.
Yo, what's going on, fam? How you guys doing?
Hey, Seth. What's up, buddy?
I'm chilling. Listen, man, I got to blow up here, man. I am so sick and darn tired of hearing about these dang refs, man. Like, I can't even fathom a world where it's okay to start making excuses before the cleats even touch the damn field. I mean, it is such a lazy and you know what I'm saying when I say it's a kitty cat way of approaching this whole thing. You know what I mean? You got to take the refs out of the game. Yeah. Every time you touch the ball, pay dirt. Don't let them get in the end zone, period. That's how you play. You smack them early, often, let them know where you're coming from. Take a 15-yard penalty in the beginning of the game if you have to. If that means it's putting a clean, hard hit on Patrick Mahomes, means the ref's going to throw a flag because Mahomes gets flags, fair enough. Then take it. You know what? We got to understand that you want to be the best. The best players always get the tough calls. They always get things decided their way. It happened when we had Allen Iverson. He used to get calls all the time. You know why? Because he knew how to draw a foul. You know what I'm saying? These guys know how to play.
It's like Seth. It's like it in any sport. It's LeBron. It's Michael. It's Kobe. I mean, it's Mahomes. It's Brady.
Yeah, we're not talking about Angel Hernandez out there as a referee. You know what I mean? Like this is such BS, man. And as a Philadelphia fan, I got to tell you, man, I am steamed at this. Focus on the game. Focus. You want to be afraid of somebody? Don't be afraid of the Zebras. Be afraid or concerned, I should say, that you're playing Mahomes, Reed, Spagnuolo. Like that's where the problem is. You know what I mean? And if you want to beat them the right way. Put up so many damn points that they can't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
That's the way I feel about it.
Take the refs out of the game. Yeah,
that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, and the other thing, you're saying it, Sarah. Seth, we appreciate the phone call. Like, if they're going to hit, we want them and we need them to hit Mahomes, right? You need to rattle them, hit them, sack them, all that. You know, if you're going to hit them, right? If they're going to call a penalty anyway, don't – the worst – the most frustrating penalties I've noticed on Mahomes is when the guy barely touches them and they call it anyway. So if you're near him, get him to the ground.
If you're going
to
do it, go all the way. What do you say, N for a penny, N for a pound?
That's exactly
if
it.
If you're going to do it, do it.
All right, let's get to – we got Marple Mac up here. Let's get to Marple Mac. Marple Mac, everybody? Hey, Marple Mac.
Marple Mac.
Great. Great talking to you. I've been trying to get on. I appreciate Kyle putting me on. Listen, the ref thing. I told Kyle the same thing. That is a load of crap. Just like they were trying to say against Buffalo, when Josh Allen made that throw, he put that ball right there, and the guy, it was right in his hands, and he dropped it. The ref didn't cause that. We got to move on past that. And also, like I told Kyle, I would be shocked if the Eagles didn't win by less than 10. I don't think it's going to be close. With that
not
going to
be close. You heard it right there from Marple Mack himself.
I heard Marple Mack.
No, I don't. Because they have a lot more to play for. They don't want records. I mean, I don't know. You two probably don't know this. But the Saints, when they were an expansion team, guess who their first win was against?
Who's the Eagles. That's right.
So, no, he's not. Mahomes is not going to establish no dynasty at the cost of the Eagles when they are hungry, when they've got a great defense, when they're playing the punch-out thing. No. I'm praying specifically for Brandon Graham. I hope he gets in for him to get two strip sacks. And I'm hoping that it's 55
sacks.
To nothing. That's what I want. I wouldn't
nothing.
Be shocked if it was.
Okay, I like that.
Not at all.
You good, Hugh?
No, I got a question for Marple Mac. Marple, are you still there?
I'm still here.
How you going to send me a package to give to somebody else? How you going to address to me a package?
Well,
and then inside the package, there's a package for Nick Sirianni.
Hang on. Remember about a month or so ago when I made a call, one of you, I think it was Kyle in the station, said, well, why doesn't he send the package here to the station? So I did.
So why'd you send it to me, though?
Kind of.
I sent it to you because, like Kyle had said, you know,
that's
I might
right.
be sick.
Kyle,
of
so
not,
Kyle
but
made you do it.
This is Kyle's fault.
So, Kyle.
No, I'm not.
What?
I know you guys are about entertainment, but I'm serious about this. Look, I've been trying to get a better, and Kyle, in all seriousness, said, well, maybe Marple Mack thinks that you're a conduit to get something to the players.
That's right.
So that's why I did it.
So, wait a minute.
Hugh, you have the connections. I thought I was hooking Mac up.
So, basically, Kyle knew all of this, right? Because, Marple, I've been talking bad. That package for number one, that package still sitting in the studio. And I've been talking bad about you. Couldn't wait for you to call in so I can talk about this.
Mark, we appreciate it.
Now come to find out Kyle was
hold on. You were, I mean, if you were paying attention, we did this over the air. I said this to Mac.
See, I tried to put it back on me.
I
mean, it's a fair point. I mean, you might have checked out for that minute.
When do I ever check in when he's talking? So you have him send a package to me like I'm gonna give it to Nick Sirianni?
Yes.
Who do I look like?
You're Hugh. You're an Eagles Hall of Famer.
Marple Mack's mail handler.
Yes.
No.
You are Eagles Hall of Famer Hugh Douglas. I thought that maybe you had the inside track to send a package to the coach.
He sent me a package a box.
To be clear, you did not deliver this.
Hells no.
To
that
Nick
package.
Sirianni?
Do you see that package? That is Kyle. If you look across your glass, and if you look out and look down, that package should still be sitting there. Been sitting there for the last.
No, it is. But like, well, look. I don't want to open Nick Sirianni's mail.
I'm a grown ass man. I'm not sending no messages for another grown.
Yeah, grown ass men can do nice things for others.
No. Not when it's like that, no.
Two very important things just hit me. Number one, if the Eagles lose, it's on you and Marple Mack.
I agree.
We're not doing that.
We're
not doing that.
We are.
Marple Mack then lost his mind thinking I'm going to deliver his package.
No, if we're crediting you for Brandon Graham's strip sack, then you're getting blamed for losing this one.
You can't have both.
I mean, it sounds like that's how it works. Philly math works. But not in this situation, no.
Did you say Philly math?
Philly math.
What's that supposed to mean?
That means that we move the line and we move the math equations around quite a bit. Move quite a bit around in Philadelphia. I mean,
I'm taking that sack back away from Patrick Ramsey.
Sorry, him.
That was ridiculous.
It's the reality that I live in.
I've noticed 2 days in Radio Row and listening to a little bit of Ike Spike and Fritz yesterday. Anytime we go somewhere with other people. Do you ever look up how loud we are compared to everyone else?
Yes, I noticed that.
Kyle,
today.
We're yelling.
Everybody's looking at us.
Everyone else is doing their shows at their tables, just having normal conversations.
And we're yelling.
We're animated, yelling at Marple Mack. And I know I looked up like 10 minutes ago. I was like, everyone's looking at us.
You know what? As I yell across the room, ain't nobody gonna say nothing to us either.
Well, that just tells me that we're the one station down there that cares.
Well, we're the one that's moving the needle. Well, there are some Kansas City stations. I'm not sure how much they care.
Yeah, but you've heard about how they're talking. They're already talking about what this game means for their legacy after they win.
Well, they were not thrilled this morning when I went on there and I told them they're getting blown out.
No, they're just going through the motions.
We are loud and boisterous.
We're throwing elbows down there.
No, listen.
That's exactly it.
We are in the Odyssey cluster, but we are the family members that come to the barbecue.
Yep.
And we go straight to the – we cut the line. We're talking the loudest.
We took all of the sides, and they're gone.
We took the sides, and we just sitting back. We went straight to the good liquor.
Yeah.
We did not pass.
And they can't believe the good liquor's gone already. We just got here.
Damn, they had to come. Those Kent folks had to come from up north.
they invited
they
them again.
And they're loud, and they don't know how to act. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Cameron is up.
Hey, what's up, Cameron? What's going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Not much. I don't think the refs are going to play a factor. We need to play disciplined football, no turnovers. I love the caller who just called in that said we control our own destiny. It couldn't be truer. I'm very confident. Let our defense play like the number one defense they've been playing like all year, okay? Mahomes is a human being. He's not perfect. He's not a machine. People may think he is. But I think our defense needs to make him uncomfortable.
Yep. He's a man, not a machine.
He ain't no machine.
Yeah, it's like the Drago thing. That is it.
That
no, yeah, it's all right. It happens. All right. Cameron, we appreciate the phone call, Cameron. 215-592-9494. Hugh Douglas, the referee stuff. Is it overblown? Do you believe the refs are against the Eagles on Sunday?
No, I do not.
I don't either. And I think it's we've gone so overboard with this. It's insane. Like, will the refs make a call on Sunday that you might disagree with? Sure, it's football. It happens every week. But the if the Eagles play their best football, they'll win. Like, enough. It's like we're already setting up the excuses. And to go back to 2 years ago, Bradbury held. He admitted he held.
Yeah.
We saw him
and
hold.
And people still didn't want to hear that.
I mean, I know they were letting him play that night. But, guys, we have to be able to say this isn't the why the Chiefs are where they are. And let's knock them off. Let's become Super Bowl champions. And then we'll move off to all the Chiefs stuff and all this ref stuff. Kyle, where do you come down? Are the refs going to be against the Eagles on Sunday?
No, and I think if you think so and you're sitting here talking about on Monday that the refs did this, the refs did that, no matter what happens in the game, you're a loser and a moron. I mean, the refs are not favoring one team in a game. The Chiefs just happen to be a pretty damn good team. I mean, they did just win back-to-back Super Bowls and then 15 games this season and are now going for a three-peat. Like, there's a reason the Chiefs probably get more calls their way. It's because they're a good team. They're a well-coached team. They're a more disciplined team. And I just think it just so happens that a lot of fan bases are on the losing side and get a chance to blame officiating and throw them onto the bus. And that's where this perception's come from. So I'm tired of the referee nonsense. If you're blaming the refs on Monday, you're a loser.
No more.
I like the official, you're a moron.
Yeah, if you want to be a moron, be a moron. But you know what? There's a lot of people out there who aren't morons who actually do feel this way. So we want to hear from it. Either way, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop up. We're live today, Radio Row, here in New Orleans. Do you believe the refs are going to be against Eagles on Sunday? I don't believe so. Your phone call is coming up. And we'll let you hear the latest Joe Conklin song about our trip to New Orleans. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back. And this time, it's every Manning for himself. This Super Bowl, two legends will take the field in a sudden-death field goal showdown. Peyton versus Eli. Live from New Orleans. One kick to claim ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner in the FanDuel app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. And if you back the right brother, you'll earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick. And don't forget to tune in and watch the showdown live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox, 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sports is the official part of 94 WIP.
It's apparent when you're on top, everyone wants to try to bring you down. It's a bunch of bull loney.
Nice.
That the league is helping the Kansas City Chiefs. If you got a problem with it, go beat them. Okay, the refs aren't involved in when you throw interceptions, when you fumble the ball, when you jump off sides, when you don't convert third down or fourth down or third and fourth down for short four times. They can't control that. Like, if you want to beat them, go beat them. Don't talk about it. Be about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say that about the Chiefs.
Yeah, Julian Edelman gets it. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Julian, live from Radio Row in New Orleans over here. As Julian Edelman, a couple days ago, he was saying, enough. Just go beat them. The referee stuff, I know it's a story. I know it's a big one. That's why we wanted to talk about it today, but I'm just going to feel for everyone's feeling about this. I don't think the refs are going to be against the Eagles on Sunday night. I don't buy it. I don't buy it, Hugh, and I think it's become overblown. Go win the game.
I think, and we've talked about this all day, it's what people talk about when they don't have nothing else to talk about. Because as a player, man, just like Julian said, you control the narrative. You can control whether or not that ref is making those calls. If you're not out there doing bonehead stuff, given the Kansas City Chiefs' life, then there it is. The one year when Cincinnati had him on the ropes.
Yeah, Joseph Asai.
Yeah.
That was the linebacker.
Yeah, the linebacker. Dude, you have to be smart. He don't make that play, we ain't even talking about dynasty.
Well, if he didn't make that play, the Eagles are playing the Bengals 2 years ago.
Yes.
The Eagles probably win that game.
Yes. He don't make that play. Ain't nobody having a conversation about the refs or anything like that. It's stupid things that happen that you have to be aware of. I don't see anything egregious. Now, I understand that people are going to complain about the refs and all this stuff. And like I said, human error, I think, is a part of it. But to sit there and be like, oh, no, the refs got a plan at the end of the day, and they have a script that say, you know what, whatever happens, Kansas City Chiefs win by one. No, dude, that's just you making bonehead plays at the end of the game that cost you the game.
Yeah, there's no question. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. And when you call in, we'll talk this ref stuff. Who's going to be the BG of Super Bowl 59? BG himself thinks it's going to be Zach Bond. Hugh's on the Zach Bond idea. Kyle's got Nolan Smith. I said it's going to be CJ, GJ. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Keith is up next on WIP.
Hey, great show, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you for
Thanks, Keith. What's up, pal? What are you thinking?
Well, I tell you what, referees are employees. That's what I'm going to say about whether something is fixed or not. Because even if it is, nobody else has control over it except those people who are over top and making those decisions. None of us can say what is and what isn't if we're not sitting in those rooms. But, hey, like I said, they're employees. They have to answer someone. I think it goes in layers. This thing has layers. It's bigger than just whether they are fixing games or whether the referees are doing stuff independently. I don't think it's that at all. But that's their business. They run it like a business, so I respect that. But, Hugh, I have a question for you. You, and only you can answer this as a professional who's played the game. Listen, that 2014 with Terrell Owens, yourself, and Donovan, and the rest of that team could play against any team, I think, even today. That's my feeling. But having said that, with this team, current team, already winning, already going to the Super Bowl twice, and no other Eagle team has done that, and if they were to win this Super Bowl, and Lord knows if they win it convincingly, and many people are about to call them the greatest team ever if they do that, can there be a little professional jealousy of players from the past because this team has a chance to do something that maybe they didn't get a chance to do?
I wouldn't say jealousy, envy. Jealousy, nah. Because I'm happy. Do I wish it was me that won the Super Bowl? Yes. But I'm genuinely happy for BG and the things that they've been able to accomplish because we all eat behind that. You know, I mean, to be honest, even though I didn't play in the game, you know, there are certain benefits that I get from them being in the game, you know, and being a part of a Super Bowl run and being a part of a legacy. So, no, as far as being jealous of them or anything like that, no, envious, definitely envious. You know, when I look at the career that BG's had, and you're like, look, I would have loved to have that career, but it wasn't in the cards for me. So, I mean,
I
live vicariously through him. What'd you say?
I wish you and Ike were on this team.
Well, hell, me and Ike do, too. We do. I'm pretty sure John Ritchie does too. But like I said, it's not so much jealousy. It's we're part of it. We're part of the foundation. We're part of the foundation of this Eagles legacy. And you know what? Hey, we did what we were supposed to do, and this team took what we started, and they took it further. And you know, it's like when you have a prototype of something. You know, it's good, but there's always something that comes along that's going to be better. And this is what this is. This is the Eagles 3.0, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. But this is a better version of what we started. So, I'm not jealous of that.
Y'all set the tone 2014.
Yeah, not jealous of that. I look at it like this. Did what it was supposed to do.
Good call, Keith. Keith, we appreciate it. Yeah, I heard, I think Ike either addressed this or was asked this a couple weeks ago. And he said something similar to you. Not jealousy. It's not – but it is pretty wild. Like, you guys did set the tone. Because the franchise before – and that's why the Andy thing is so connected to all of this.
Yeah.
Because when I was on the KC station this morning, they asked me about the feeling about Andy in Philadelphia. And I said, well, it's complicated. But the reality is before Andy, the Eagles were – a very middling franchise.
Yeah.
This was nothing. Like, there was very little history, greatness.
There's too much connective tissue for you to completely diminish what Andy Reid did for this organization and vice versa. You know, the Chiefs knew what they had when they got Andy Reid, and Andy Reid implemented a plan that started here in Philadelphia, and he basically built on that plan. It was a blueprint that he followed that he built on it. Same thing here.
And you mentioned how you guys are like the prototype, and this is 3.0 or whatever. The whole team is built similarly. Just the names
have changed.
Right. Even the way they draft defensive ends. I mean, trading for you, but then there's other ones. There's Trent Cole. There's Brandon Graham. Right now, there's Nolan Smith.
What's funny? It's when you talk about from the time that I got here into BG. BG's probably last because Nolan's a little bit different. There are parallels between all three of us, in the similar build. The similar tenacity. Like, there's certain traits that we all share. And it kind of, like, you know, for lack of a better, it kind of started with the great individual that you're sitting here with right now. It kind of started right here.
So, shoot your own horn, Douglas.
Hey. So I take, listen, man, BG success, I take pride in that because I feel, because one of the things that I remember when Andy drafted him, he said he kind of reminds me of you. You know, in a sense, and I take great pride in being able to interact with BG, talk to BG like that, and watch his growth as a Philadelphia Eagle. Because let's be honest, he didn't have it easy here early on. You know, a lot of people thought he was a bust. A lot of people thought he didn't live up to the expectations.
Yep.
He got hurt early in his career. He worked his ass off to be the well-respected person that he is now. But a lot of people, let me tell you who haven't forgot where they came from. BG. Because every now and then he will let it be known in the way that he talks there, where, you know, well, the people are like this, that, or third. He ain't forgot how he was treated when he was here. But now he revels
in
the fact.
He's seen both sides.
Yeah, so he understands that. So you know, for me, no, it's not about jealousy. It's like when you see your kids do well.
You feel happy. You feel pride.
Especially when they do better than you.
Pride.
Yeah, it's a pride thing.
You have to credit Hugh Douglas.
There you go, Kyle. You better tell him, hey, to be in this number 7 spot in the midday and to help you get these young Thundercats. Hell yeah, I'm blowing my horn. I'm tooting my own horn.
They're cheering Hugh Douglas in
and
Philly.
And they got that free. We got some free chicken down here. That Black Gritty ain't never going to get none of them.
That's why there's a pep in your step. Kyle, did you pick up on this? That Hugh quietly there tried to give himself credit for the.
I gave myself credit.
Of course.
It's a pat on the back, Hugh.
What I heard there was, if it wasn't for Hugh Douglas, the Eagles wouldn't be here right now.
Hey.
The whole franchise would be in a
Hugh's saying, you're welcome, everybody. Hashtag thank you, Hugh.
I don't know if I'd have went that
for Brandon Graham.
Say all that. But I mean, yo, it's a parallel.
I mean, so by extension, Hugh made the play on Tom Brady to get us our first Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know.
This is all Hugh.
Saw BG and Hugh. We drafted them, and there you go.
Well, technically, it started with Trent. It was BG, so I'm kind of like the godfather.
The godfather of the Eagles defense. Yeah. The guy that said defense doesn't matter. It's the godfather of the Eagles defense.
Hey, there's a lot of parallels there, man.
Yeah. If only we had longer arms, man.
Yeah, hey, y'all better start listening to me when I've been talking.
What that sounded like to me, that was Hugh's request to get a parade float in a couple weeks from now. That's what I heard there.
You know what?
His own float.
Because it's going to be so bananas
oh, yeah.
in Philadelphia. Like, listen, I can do this because I'm a radio host. I can speak it into existence. Joe, we're going to have to actually probably stay in the city the night before the parade.
I think we probably are. Otherwise, we're going to have a tough time getting in.
Listen, the pregames before that are going to be bananas.
Yes, of course, there's no question. They're going to be wild. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Seth next here on WIP.
Seth.
Yo, what's going on, fam? How you guys doing?
Hey, Seth. What's up, buddy?
I'm chilling. Listen, man, I got to blow up here, man. I am so sick and darn tired of hearing about these dang refs, man. Like, I can't even fathom a world where it's okay to start making excuses before the cleats even touch the damn field. I mean, it is such a lazy and you know what I'm saying when I say it's a kitty cat way of approaching this whole thing. You know what I mean? You got to take the refs out of the game. Yeah. Every time you touch the ball, pay dirt. Don't let them get in the end zone, period. That's how you play. You smack them early, often, let them know where you're coming from. Take a 15-yard penalty in the beginning of the game if you have to. If that means it's putting a clean, hard hit on Patrick Mahomes, means the ref's going to throw a flag because Mahomes gets flags, fair enough. Then take it. You know what? We got to understand that you want to be the best. The best players always get the tough calls. They always get things decided their way. It happened when we had Allen Iverson. He used to get calls all the time. You know why? Because he knew how to draw a foul. You know what I'm saying? These guys know how to play.
It's like it in any sport. It's LeBron. It's Michael. It's Kobe. I mean, it's Mahomes. It's Brady.
Yeah. We're not talking about Angel Hernandez out there as a referee. You know what I mean? Like, this is such BS, man. And as a Philadelphia fan, I got to tell you, man, I am steamed at this. Focus on the game. Focus. You want to be afraid of somebody? Don't be afraid of the Zebras. Be afraid or concerned, I should say, that you're playing Mahomes, Reed, Spagnuolo. Like that's where the problem is. You know what I mean? And if you want to beat them the right way. Put up so many damn points that they can't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
That's the way I feel about it.
Take the refs out of the game. Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, and the other thing, and you're saying it, Sarah, Seth, we appreciate the phone call. Like, if they're going to hit, we want them and we need them to hit Mahomes, right? You need to rattle them, hit them, sack them, all that. You know, if you're going to hit them, right? If they're going to call a penalty anyway, the most frustrating penalties I've noticed on Mahomes is when the guy barely touches them and they call it anyway. So if you're near him, get him to the ground.
If you're going to do it, go all the way. What did you say, N for a penny, N for a pound?
That's exactly
if
it.
If you're going to do it, do it.
All right, let's get to, we got Marble Mac up here. Let's get to Marble Mac. Marble Mac, everybody? Hey, Marble Mac.
Marble Mac.
Great talking to you. I've been trying to get on. I appreciate Kyle putting me on. Listen, the ref thing, I told Kyle the same thing. That is a load of crap. Just like they were trying to say against Buffalo, when Josh Allen made that throw, he put that ball right there, and it was right in his hands, and he dropped it. The ref didn't cause that. We got to move on past that. And also, like I told Kyle, I would be shocked if the Eagles didn't win by less than 10. I don't think it's going to be close.
Not going to be close. You heard it right there from Marple Mack himself.
I heard Marple Mack.
No, I don't. Because they have a lot more to play for. They don't want records. I mean, I don't know. You two probably don't know this. But the Saints, when they were an expansion team, guess who their first win was against?
Who's the Eagles. That's right.
So, no, he's not. Mahomes is not going to establish no dynasty at the cost of the Eagles when they are hungry, when they've got a great defense, when they're playing the punch-out thing. No. I'm praying specifically for Brandon Graham. I hope he gets in for him to get two strip sacks. And I'm hoping that it's 55
sacks
to nothing. That's what I want. I wouldn't be shocked if it was.
Okay, I like that.
Not at all.
You good, Hugh?
No, I got a question for Marble Mac. Marble, are you still there?
I'm still here.
How are you going to send me a package to give to somebody else? How are you going to address to me a package?
Well,
and then inside the package, there's a package for Nick Sirianni.
Hang on. Remember about a month or so ago when I made a call, one of you, I think it was Kyle on the station, said, well, why doesn't he send the package here to the station? So I did.
So why did you send it to me, though?
Kind of.
I sent it to you because, like Kyle had said, you know,
that's
I
right.
might be sick.
Kyle made you do it.
This is Kyle's fault.
So, Kyle.
No, I'm not.
What?
I know you guys are about entertainment, but I'm serious about this. Look, I've been trying to get a better, and Kyle, in all seriousness, said, well, maybe Marple Mack thinks that you're a conduit to get something to the players.
That's right.
So that's why I did it.
So wait a minute.
Hugh, you have the connections. I thought I was hooking Mack up.
So basically, Kyle knew all of this, right? Because, Marple, I've been talking bad. That package for number one, that package still sitting in the studio. And I've been talking bad about you. I couldn't wait for you to call in so I could talk about this.
Mark, we appreciate it.
And then now come to find out Kyle was
hold on. You were, I mean, if you were paying attention, we did this over the air. I said this to Mack.
See, I tried to put it back on me.
I
mean, it's a fair point. I mean, you might have checked out for that minute.
When do I ever check in when he's talking? So you have him send a package to me like I'm going to give it to Nick Sirianni?
Yes.
Who do I look like?
You're Hugh. You're an Eagles Hall of Famer.
Max mail handler?
Yes.
No.
You are Eagles Hall of Famer Hugh Douglas. I thought that maybe you had the inside track to send a package to the coach.
He sent me a package in a box.
To be clear, you did not deliver this
to that Nick package, Sirianni? Do you see that package? That is, Kyle, if you look across the glass, and if you look out and look down, that package should still be sitting there, been sitting there for the last
three years. But, like, well, look, I don't want to open Nick Sirianni's mail.
I'm a grown-ass man. I'm not sending no messages for another grown-ass man.
Grown-ass men can do nice things for others.
No. Not when it's like that, no.
Two very important things just hit me. Number one, if the Eagles lose, it's on you and Marple Mack.
I agree.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
Marple Mack then lost his mind thinking I'm going to deliver his package.
No, if we're crediting you for Brandon Graham's strip sack, then you're getting blamed for losing this one.
You can't have both things.
I mean, it sounds like that's how it works, Philly math works. But not in this situation, no.
Did you say Philly math?
Philly math.
What's that supposed to mean?
That means that we move the line and we move the math equations around quite a bit. Move quite a bit around in Philadelphia. I mean,
I'm taking that sack back away from Patrick Ramsey.
Sorry, him.
That was ridiculous.
I'm just saying, it's the reality that I live in.
Second thing I've noticed 2 days in Radio Row and listening to a little bit of Ike Spike and Fritz yesterday. Anytime we go somewhere with other people. Do you ever look up how loud we are compared to everyone else?
Yes, I noticed that.
Kyle,
today.
We're yelling.
Everybody's looking at us.
Everyone else is doing their shows at their tables, just having normal conversations.
And we're yelling.
We're animated, yelling at Marple Mack. And I know I looked up like 10 minutes ago. I was like, everyone's looking at us.
You know what? As I yell across the room, ain't nobody going to say nothing to us either.
Well, that just tells me that we're the one station down there that cares.
Well, we're the one that's moving the needle. Well, there are some Kansas City stations. I'm not sure how much they care.
Yeah, but you've heard about how they're talking. They're already talking about what this game means for their legacy after they win.
Well, they were not thrilled this morning when I went on there and I told them they're getting blown out.
No, they're just going through the motions.
We are loud and boisterous.
We're throwing elbows down there.
No, listen.
That's exactly it.
We are in the Odyssey cluster, but we are the family members that come to the barbecue.
Yep.
And we go straight to the – we cut the line. We're talking about
we took all of the sides and they're gone.
We took the sides and we just sitting back. We went straight to the good liquor.
Yeah,
we did not pass.
And they can't believe the good liquor's gone already. We just got here.
Damn, they had to come. Those Kent folks had to come from up north.
they invited
they
them again.
And they're loud and they don't know how to act. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Cameron is up.
Hey, what's up, Cameron? Going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Not much. I don't think the refs are going to play a factor. We need to play disciplined football, no turnovers. I love the caller who just called in that said we control our own destiny. It couldn't be truer. I'm very confident. Let our defense play like the number one defense they've been playing like all year, okay? Mahomes is a human being. He's not perfect. He's not a machine. People may think he is. But I think our defense needs to make him uncomfortable.
Yep.
He's
a man, not a machine. It's
he ain't no machine.
Yeah, it's like the Drago thing. That is it.
That
no, yeah, it's all right. It happens. All right. Cameron, we appreciate the phone call, Cameron. 215-592-9494. Hugh Douglas, the referee stuff. Is it overblown? Do you believe the refs are against the Eagles on Sunday?
No, I do not.
I don't either. And I think it's we've gone so overboard with this. It's insane. Like, will the refs make a call on Sunday that you might disagree with? Sure, it's football. It happens every week. But the if the Eagles play their best football, they'll win. Like, enough. It's like we're already setting up the excuses. And to go back to 2 years ago, Bradbury held. He admitted he held.
Yeah.
We saw him
and
hold.
And people still didn't want to hear that.
I mean, I know they were letting him play that night. But, guys, we have to be able to say this isn't the why the Chiefs are where they are. And let's knock them off. Let's become Super Bowl champions. And then we'll move off all the Chiefs stuff and all this ref stuff. Kyle, where do you come down? Are the refs going to be against the Eagles on Sunday?
No, and I think if you think so and you're sitting here talking about on Monday that the refs did this, the refs did that, no matter what happens in the game, you're a loser and a moron. I mean, the refs are not favoring one team in a game. The Chiefs just happen to be a pretty damn good team. I mean, they did just win back-to-back Super Bowls and then 15 games this season and are now going for a three-peat. Like, there's a reason the Chiefs probably get more calls their way. It's because they're a good team. They're a well-coached team. They're a more disciplined team. And I just think it just so happens that a lot of fan bases are on the losing side and get a chance to blame officiating and throw them onto the bus. And that's where this perception's come from. So I'm tired of the referee nonsense. If you're blaming the refs on Monday, you're a loser.
No more.
I like the official, you're a moron.
Yeah, if you want to be a moron, be a moron. But you know what? There's a lot of people out there who aren't morons who actually do feel this way. So we want to hear from it. Either way, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop up. We're live today, Radio Row, here in New Orleans. Do you believe the refs are going to be against Eagles on Sunday? I don't believe so. Your phone call is coming up. And we'll let you hear the latest Joe Conklin song about our trip to New Orleans. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back. And this time, it's every Manning for himself. This Super Bowl, two legends will take the field in a sudden-death field goal showdown. Peyton versus Eli. Live from New Orleans. One kick to claim ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner in the FanDuel app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. And if you back the right brother, you'll earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick. And don't forget to tune in and watch the showdown live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox, 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.